Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. It's not uncommon to hear that taxes in the city of La Crosse are too high. To avoid these costs, people often move to surrounding communities, thinking it's a better deal. A recent study set out to explore the true cost of home ownership throughout La Crosse County. It looks at costs beyond property taxes, exploring septic and sewer costs, water rates, and garbage and recycling fees. Here today to talk about the findings of the report, Comparison of Annual Costs Associated with Home Ownership in La Crosse County, is the author of the study, Carl Green. He's an associate professor in the Department of Community Development with the La Crosse County UW Extension, and Cindy Gerke Edwards. She's owner of Cindy Gerke & Associates and president of the La Crosse Area Realtors Association. Carl, I'm wondering if you can start and give us some background. Why was it that you decided to compile the information within this study?
There's a lot of talk about tax rates in the city of La Crosse, and I've, with the work that I've done on housing and studies of housing in the La Crosse area, I hear that a lot. In fact, as I was presenting my report on the challenging trends of housing in the city, that was one of the main themes I heard of people that I asked, you know, where do they live and what were the reasons for where they lived, and taxes was a very common theme. Having a background in civil engineering, I know that oftentimes user charges are a form of paying for water and sewer systems. So I started thinking, well, what about, you know, some of the other costs associated with it? And then I expanded that to not look at just municipalities that had water and sewer utility systems, but then also I wanted to see, could you kind of calculate a cost associated with private systems, and that's what I attempted to do with the estimates I have on the private water and sewer as well.
And we'll sort of dive into all the details of that in a bit, but had anyone really looked at these total cost estimates before within this area?
I'm not sure if they have or not. I hadn't seen any review of it, although actually I take that back. I think that the city did have something that they looked at in the early 90s. It wasn't as comprehensive. There wasn't something in the past 20 years that I've seen.
And Cindy, as someone who works with future homeowners or people looking to move around the area, is that something that you commonly hear from people, is that, well, maybe I'd like to live in the city of La Crosse, but the property taxes are too high?
Well, to get them pre-qualified, you know, that's usually what we try to do. But we sit down and we have like an affordability chart for everybody. And part of the problem is, you know, you don't want to, you know, get someone into a home they can't afford. And that's what the bottom line is here. So getting someone pre-qualified, you know, you want to make sure that they can afford their monthly payment. You know, taxes, insurance is the main thing, of course, and their principal and interest payment. But beyond that point, okay, you want to put them basically inside the walls of the house. So utility costs, you know, play within that, okay. But then there's going to be trash pickup, you know, if that's going to be like trash bags, or is it going to be included in the taxes? Is it a volunteer fire department, or is it a city-run fire department, because your insurance is going to be a variable there? Depending upon if it's, like, say, if they're in La Crescent, they're going to be paying more for their license plates. Or if they're going to be having a little bit higher income tax, okay, from their state withholding tax as opposed to Wisconsin taxes. Transportation costs, if it's going to be too far outlying. You know, all these things have to be factored into their budget. So we have an actual work budget sheet for every homeowner, depending upon what municipality they end up in. Because, you know, it's bottom line. You know, what is it going to cost that individual to live in that particular property? And are they going to be able to afford it in the long run?
So is that something that realtors are required to do, is show the, a homeowner maybe the costs associated? Or is that just something that
most realtors do that. They're okay. Not required to, but sure. The 99% of them do it.
And, I mean, how often is it that people are surprised about maybe these costs associated with water and trash? I mean, is this something that people don't realize may be higher than they had initially anticipated?
I don't know. I just think it's pretty basic. You know, this is a really large investment for people, and you want to make sure you really do your due diligence and your investigation.
I think maybe part of the hidden costs might be in like a private system. Because let's say that somebody purchases a house in an unincorporated township, you know, are they looking at the age of the well? Are they looking at the age of the septic system? because, you know, until they know that type of information and you know, we know that roofs are going to need to be replaced. We know that windows are going to need to be replaced eventually. But so are wells and septic systems. And so that might be something that a home buyer might not be as familiar with. And being aware of that, I think, is what's going to make a better informed consumer.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about home ownership costs in La Crosse County and a recent study released exploring those costs. Here today, my guests are Carl Green. He's the author of the study and an associate professor in the Department of Community Development with La Crosse County UW Extension, and Cindy Gerke Edwards. She's owner of Cindy Gerke and Associates and president of the La Crosse Area Realtors Association. So let's sort of dive into this report. Carl, you really, this isn't looking at every single community within La Crosse County. It's looking at six communities. I'm wondering if you could talk about those communities and sort of why you focus solely on those.
Sure. So I wanted to look at really the more populated areas, so where we're seeing residential development and growth. And obviously the cities of La Crosse and Onalaska would be those. The village of Holman has seen very strong residential growth, especially in the last couple of decades. So I included that. I included the village of West Salem. And then I also wanted to look at some of the townships, both an urban township, which I consider the town of Onalaska to be, and then a more rural township like the town of Farmington. There are areas in the town of Campbell or the town of Shelby that might get some sort of a sewer service or water service from the city of La Crosse. I felt like if I started melding, you know, especially where you have sewer service rates or areas that overlap municipal boundaries, I thought that might get confusing. So I wanted to pick a urban and rural township that didn't have those types of overlaps.
And then we're going to break down all these different costs, and there's a lot of nuances within here. But ultimately, the findings find that the annual cost of living is the highest in the city of La Crosse and lowest in West Salem. As I said, there's a lot more to it, and it's not that simple. But the difference was about a little more than $1,600 annually. Was this, like these final findings, was that surprising to you, or was there any sort of takeaway from those results?
Well, I think, you know, $1,600 isn't something to sneeze at. It's a good deal of money, and yet when you start looking at it on a monthly basis, it doesn't maybe seem as large as I think what I had anticipated they would be.
$137, approximately,
monthly. It's about $137 a month. And then, you know, recognizing if you were to look at transportation costs, depending on where you're working and where you're living, that $137 could be eaten up very quickly. So that was, I think, the biggest surprise for me, was that the difference was as minimal, maybe, as it appeared to be.
And Cindy, when you saw these final figures, was this something that, was it surprising to you, or?
No, because just like Carl just said, you know, you've got to put the individual inside of that particular home. And, you know, it gas costs X amount of dollars, okay. Or maybe if they've got children in school, you also have to look at as far as like what the school is going to provide. Okay, are you going to have to kick in for extra costs as far as like, you know, extracurricular activities? Okay, what's being provided by that particular school system? Are you going to have to, if they're going to be in sports, you know, what's being provided, what you're going to have to provide as a parent? And these are the things that you've got to, you know, really factor into your budget. And, you know, and it doesn't sound like a lot, but once you have that person into that particular home, you know, you don't want to have those surprises pop up and then have that be an encumbrance for that family, a hardship.
So, Carl, one of the first pieces that you look at are sanitary sewer charges. And it found, in this report, it found that in Holman, it's actually much higher than, you know, places like West Salem and La Crosse. I'm wondering if you can, I don't know if you understand why this is happening, or if you can maybe just explain the differences here.
Sure. Well, the village of Holman has seen a lot of residential growth. And so really what they're doing is a very conscientious and smart way to assess the costs associated with that residential growth. And they're saying, you know, these our charges that now they had to put to their sanitary sewer system to upgrade it. And part of that is because of changes that happened from the state DNR. But they are trying to then reflect those costs in their user charges. You know, that's a very responsible approach to reflecting the costs as they were incurred. So really there's nothing, I don't think, wrong with the village putting their costs in their sanitary sewer system. It's where they are experiencing a large amount of expenditures. So the difference is pretty large between what the city of La Crosse pays and the village of Holman, but that's because of improvements that were required to the sanitary sewer system and trying to cover the cost of those. Other municipalities that we looked at, the village of West Salem, they're the lowest sanitary sewer rates at this point, but I don't believe that they have yet to make the upgrades that the village of Holman is undergoing. And so, you know, when that point comes in time, which it will, and what I'm talking about is phosphorus effluent limits. And when the village has to put those types of effluent, filters in place, it's going to cause costs to go up as well.
And you also found that individual septic sewer systems can also be costly, which maybe is no surprise to those who have individual septic systems.
Right. What I really wanted to do with that was just to show that they're, at least on a budgetary consideration, a homeowner needs to think about those as something that isn't, you know, it's not where it's once you put in your septic system, you don't have to ever replace it. It's a mechanical system that can fail. It can fail dependent on use and age. And it's something that if a resident isn't anticipating a cost of it coming up, it could be a surprise. And that's something that I guess I wanted to make sure people are aware of.
Well, if they don't have a big enough lot, too. Like a lot of septic systems, like if you go, for instance, like up on the ridge, you know, where you get more of a heavier clay soil, mm-hmm. you know, we really had a lot of failures of septic systems up there. So then we're forced to go into a mound system up there, and they are very, very costly.
Right.
And if we can have more of a sandy soil base, then we can do more of the drain field situation, and then you can have like alternate drain fields. So you can have the one drain field rest when the septic system fails, and you can just flip over to a new drain field if you got a large enough lot. So then it's more economical, say Bryce's Prairie area, you know. So I mean, depending upon where you're at soil wise, but you know, if they're going to go into a mound system, it's going to cost them a lot of money.
Right.
And even if you have the septic and well, you know, inspected, wells are a little bit easier, but septic systems, you really can't see x-ray vision to see what the system was when it was installed. You've got certain type of, but did the people maintain it before you? How was it maintained? You know, and a lot of the guys that maybe installed them aren't even around anymore. And so it's really a kind of an unknown.
And a septic system is a, you know, it's an animal in itself in that you're trying to, you've got a system that has a certain biological processes going on that are treating the septic, you know, the sewage. And depending on what you're putting into this system, you can sometimes put those out of whack. And that's, you know, something that a homeowner needs to be aware of. It's not the same as being hooked up to a city sanitary sewer service where you can put down, you know, just about anything.
And Carl, within these figures, you estimate the costs of the different septic systems. And I'm wondering, it's kind of like within the, when you look at the costs for different wells and stuff, how did you come across these prices? How did you determine, I'm assuming they're averages, but.
Yeah, so as Cindy was speaking about, there's two types of systems that, you know, typically are installed in the La Crosse area. There's a mound system, which when you're in a heavier soil or something that doesn't drain as easily, you might have to use. Otherwise, you can go with a conventional septic system in the more sandier areas.
Right.
And so I contacted about four different installers. I asked them on average prices, and it varies depending on the number, basically the number of bedrooms, number of bathrooms that the home has. And so because I was trying to hold things consistent, I said a three-bedroom home, two-bath, and, you know, average price about $154,000. That's what I was using for the tax calculation. So we, you know, I was able to get an estimate from four different organizations that that installed them. They also do, a lot of times the installers will, or they may, you know, do the either the pumping or the new installs. And so they kind of alerted me to the fact that you have to get them pumped out every 3 years. Right. Again, depending on use, that might be less if you have more people living in that house. If you use your water, run your, you know, well system more. There's going to be certain soil sampling that's required. Even if it, you have a new system that's right next to an old system, they still have to do a perk test that determines if that soil can absorb that, you know, liquid.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about a recent study that explores the home ownership costs in La Crosse County. My guests are Carl Green, he's the author of the study and an associate professor in the Department of Community Development with La Crosse County UW Extension, and Cindy Gerke Edwards. She's owner of Cindy Gerke and Associates and president of the La Crosse Area Realtors Association. One of the next costs that you explore in this report, Carl, is the private versus public well system and different water costs within the area. Can you sort of sum up some of the findings you found within that?
Yeah, the four municipalities that had water systems that I looked at, the City of La Crosse, City of Onalaska, Village of Holman, and Village of West Salem, all had costs pretty consistent around what calculated out to be just around $200 a year. Again, that's going to be depending on the amount of water used, but the estimate that I used was a pretty standardized business of determining water usage. I also looked at new wells and as well as replacing well pumps. I contacted, again, about four well providers to get average costs. With a well, it's going to be dependent on depth that you're drilling to. And so really that's going to be location dependent as well. Is your well on the top of the ridge? Is it over in Bryce's Prairie? Those were, you know, some of the considerations that I had. And so I have in the townships in my calculations what I call a high and a low value. And basically what I'm trying to do is have considerations of, is it a mound system versus the conventional septic, and is it a deep well versus a shallower well?
And Cindy, I mean, do you ever come across people who are looking to buy a home and maybe something like this actually determines whether or not they want to purchase their home?
Well, yeah, and the other thing, too, with, you know, it is a big cost. And that the other thing, too, with well systems, especially in rural housing, and that we have to be really sensitive with nitrates in our area. And especially, you know, like Bryce's Prairie area, for instance, we had a high nitrate problem up there. And then you're going to have to put in like a reverse osmosis system because you don't want high nitrate count in your water. And, you know, you need to test your well water. You know, I like to at least have them tested at least every quarter for residential.
Personally for you?
Yeah. For residential use for bacteria and your nitrates and that. And I think most, you know, if you've got like a community well, that's law, but I mean even on a private well, just to keep them, to make sure that they're clean water, okay? And you avoid a lot of the treated things that go with municipal wells, but I mean it's a good practice to keep your family's water safe. So you've got a little bit extra besides the maintenance part of them, you know, you've got the extra, you know, due diligence that you should do to protect your family for safe water.
And one of the next things you looked at, Carl, is stormwater charges, which in La Crosse and the City of Onalaska, they're still the highest. What are the reasonings behind that?
Well, stormwater is something that I think most people, I hear it often referred to as a rain tax. It was something actually that, as of 2006, local municipalities were required to start cleaning up their discharges of stormwater. And that was actually a federal law passed down to the states from the EPA. As part of that, a lot of municipalities, you know, this is also during this period where there have been levy limits put in place and changes to basically the way that municipalities can raise funds. And so they're moving away, I think, from the tax levy system and moving more towards a utility rate charge on some of these services that they can, you know, actually tease out and actually say that they provide just a specific service. So what we found was for costs that they fluctuated anywhere from 18 to about just under $60 a year.
West Salem being the $18, City of Onalaska being about $60?
At about $60 a year, correct. And even the town of Onalaska does have a stormwater utility, and they actually were included as one of the municipalities that was required to clean up their stormwater. So it's unfortunately, you know, for the payer, it's a charge that is either going to be in the levy or in as a its own independent charge. Again, I think the benefit of a user charge is that everybody that uses the system pays for the system. You know, if you imagine your electrical rates were based on the value of your house, we would think that would be a pretty non-equitable way to charge for energy. And yet, if you don't have a water system or a sanitary sewer system that's based on user rates, that would have been how it would have, you know, the cost would have been assigned to it. So, making the person that utilizes the service pay for the service, I think, is just a little bit more equitable in how they approach it.
And finally, you looked at residential garbage collection fees, but this is only, there's only three communities listed on the study.
Yep. So this is, again, maybe one of those examples where Holman saw that they were getting, increases in their residential trash collection, and they were going to put those costs to where those costs were coming from. And so in their user charges and their quarterly bills that they send out, they actually have a charge assessed on for garbage collection. The other municipalities still provide garbage collection, except for, I believe, townships. They just have it in their general levy.
And La Crosse is not included within these numbers?
That's because, same with the city of Onalaska, because it's okay. Just part of their taxes.
Okay. So the next thing that you look at, and you two both touched on this a little bit before, is the cost of transportation. And, Carl, obviously it's hard to say who's living where and where they're working. So you couldn't necessarily include these numbers within the final estimation of the cost of living within a
right.
community.
Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of interesting when you see, I don't know how many people actually budget out maybe their transportation costs on an annual budget or for their annual budget. But just looking at these charts, it's pretty amazing to see how quickly transportation costs can really add up if someone is commuting into the city of La Crosse.
Yeah, I think that especially, you know, if you look at your household and you say, well, how many people do we have that are driving and where are they going every day? You know, I think the connection that should be made is how close are we living to where we work? And there are costs associated with not living close to where you work.
Cindy, did you want to add to this at all?
Well, that's what we're saying. That's what that little budget sheet, when you're buying a house, is so crucial that you got to look at the whole picture, not just parts of the picture, because when you're writing out those checks every month, you want that affordability. And that's why I think Carl has done an amazing job in his study. And it's a tool that we're going to be using, okay, when we're showing all the buyers and sellers, okay, marketable, you know, it's really going to be good for us to use. And I want to thank you for all your hard work.
Oh, thanks.
No, you really did. He did an amazing job. I think a service to all of us. But it makes it so easy for people to follow, because, you know, you don't want somebody to get into a home and then not be able to have the lifestyle that they want for their family. And this puts it all in a nutshell.
Good.
And one thing that you weren't able to include was home insurance rates, just because of the complexities surrounding those figures. So
yeah, I really did want to do that, because that has been communicated to me as one cost that maybe isn't considered. Trying to get standardized requests to the underwriters was the difficulty in this exercise. And, you know, you can have even the same value house. The materials might be different. The age of it might be different. So the distance that it was from, you know, the closest fire station, all those types of things play into it. And to try to find examples where I could actually standardize it, that was where I just wasn't able to do it.
Well, another factor, too, like you said, the volunteer fire department, that type of thing, you know. The other thing that factors into it is if they've had a lot of insurance claims in their past.
Sure.
You know, that goes up on, like, a rating type thing. And, you know, credit report is another thing. If they've had a bad credit report, they have a higher insurance rate. So there's a lot of variables that go into that insurance quote. So that is something you really can't figure out for people.
Cindy, you mentioned before that this is something, this report, you're going to incorporate it into maybe how you work with your different customers. I mean, do you think a report like this will influence where people will live?
Well, I think it opens everyone's eyes. You know, we've tried to always do the budget report for them, but I think it just shows it's a third-party independence fair study. And what we, the thing that I, the whole topic of housing, when somebody comes in to buy a home, for instance, they'll say, I want to live such and such place in such and such house. And 9 times out of 10, they'll end up in a completely different area, in a completely different home than what they start out being. And I think that's what we need to do, is we need to keep our eyes open and our options open and try to get the best house for the least amount of money for your individual family. And this is what the study does. It says, like, look at all your options.
Carl, I know that you've been presenting this study to a number of committees. You recently presented it to City Council. What's been reactions from people? What are you hearing from people after you've put this forward?
It's funny. I thought putting together a relatively black and white, cost analysis wouldn't be a terribly controversial thing, and yet it seems like it has been. So I think everybody's sort of has a take on, you know, what the report says. I think that in reality, if you read the report, you'll see that it's a pretty black and white, fact-based review of costs. I think that there's, everybody has sort of their interests that they want any type of report to either support or, you know, prove against. And I think the report stands on its own, and everybody's take on it is sort of different.
Do either of you think that a report like this could change the housing stock within this area, or maybe change people's mindsets at all?
I think, you know, people, again, they make their decisions based on both fact and emotion. The fact that there's an analysis here helps some people? I hope so. Reality, there's probably still going to be a lot of people making decisions based on both fact and emotion.
Carl Green is the author of the Comparison of Annual Costs Associated with Home Ownership in La Crosse County Study, and he's an associate professor in the Department of Community Development with La Crosse County's UW Extension. Cindy Gerke Edwards is owner of Cindy Gerke & Associates and president of the La Crosse Area Realtors Association. We were talking about home ownership costs in La Crosse County. Coming up next, the La Crosse City Council considers a new ordinance that would fine adults who host a party where underage drinking is taking place. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. There, you'll also find a link to the housing study. Our site also has archives of other recent editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.